Back here, and so we will be beginning in Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 21. If you remember, the last time we were here, we were talking about the parable of the sower, and so we're continuing that conversation starting at verse 21. Jesus said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on a stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear." "Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though it does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come." Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. A story is told that's kind of gone around in a few circles about this man who was traveling on the bus, and he walks into an empty bus and he says, "Lord, if you have someone that I'm supposed to share the gospel with, would you please let me know about it? And just have them sit beside me and make it very clear that this is what you want to do." And so into this empty bus comes in a person, and they sit down and they say, What can you tell me about Jesus? Do you know anything about him?" The Christian man stops and says, "Can you just excuse me for a minute?" And then he prays, "Lord, I feel like I need a bigger sign. Perhaps you could turn the bus driver into an armadillo or something. I'm just not sure what I'm supposed to do here." And if you've ever been in that situation where you've been talking to someone and the subject of Jesus comes up, it can sometimes be a bit of an uncomfortable conversation, can't it? Some of us can be rather scared of having a conversation like this. And yet the reality is that we are sharing good news. We're sharing a view of the world consistently all the time. If you don't believe me, watch a movie sometime and ask yourself the question, what are they trying to tell me about the world? What is this story trying to tell me? Or think about the news. The news always has a particular slant, a particular bias, a particular way of looking at the world that says, if we do things this way, this will mean good news. This is why some of us enjoy more right-wing media, and this is why some of us enjoy some more left-wing media, is because, generally speaking, they share our view of the world. We like what they have to say, and so we say, this is good news, these guys do the news well, these guys over here are crazy, right? We see this all the time. Evangelism, whether you realize it or not, is going on all the time around you. Everywhere, all the time. And the real question is, what do we do as believers, as people who have gathered together as the church, what do we do with the message of the kingdom? Jesus brings it out in four parables. The first two talk about our work, and the second two talk about God's work. The first two talk about our work and the call that God has placed on our lives as far as what we're to do, and then it goes into the second two, talk about what God will do with our work. And so, let's open up our Bibles and take a look at verse 21, recognizing that as Jesus is opening up this parable, he's going back to an idea that started in verse 11. Notice verse 11 of chapter 4. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Now, if you remember last time that we talked about this, we were talking about how Jesus had been very clear about who he was. He had said he's Lord of the Sabbath. He had said that he is that he has the authority to forgive sin. He's saying he's God. He said all this. And now he's using parables because apparently people don't understand clear sentences. So he says, I'm going to use parables. And honestly, some people aren't going to get it. But some people will. And some people included his disciples. And so there's some question about, well, should we be keeping this message a secret? Should this message stay hidden? And Jesus kind of starts by saying, hey, what do you do with a lamp? Do you hide it under the table? You just hide it under the bed when you're at your house? Is that what you do? No, you don't do that. That'd be absurd. That'd be silly, right? And that's kind of what Jesus is trying to do. In case you don't think Jesus likes jokes, here's an example of Jesus using a joke. He's being kind of absurd and being kind of silly. No, you don't put it under anything. You don't put it under a bed. You put it up on the stand for everyone to see. Why? Because it gives light to the room. It's so that you can look around. Heather and I, when we entered into our first house, there were certain rooms. It was an older house, and there were certain rooms where there was no overhead light. We had to bring in lamps, or else we'd be walking around in the darkness in certain rooms in this really old house. It was like a house from like the 50s or something, or 40s or something. It was old enough that it had a coal chute, okay? So it was quite the old place, and we needed to have different lamps to bring in light. And that says something about our world. That says something about our world. What's it saying? It's saying that the world is a dark place. It's saying that the world actually can't see. It can't see the reality of who Jesus is. We need light. And when Jesus talks about light, what he said, it's interesting the way that the Greek talks about it. It talks about bringing it in. Talks about, why do you bring in the light? You bring it in so that all can see. And he's talking about himself. Jesus calls himself the light of the world. He is brought into the darkness of this world to show people the truth, to show people reality, to show people what God is like and the reality of their own condition, that they can't see, that they need someone to come and to enter in. John, in chapter 1, verse 9, writes, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And the reality is that when the world is a dark place, the world can become a frightening place, a scary place. I had, when I was a youth pastor, we had all kinds of night games that we would do, particularly around this time of year when it was really dark and you'd get, everyone would have like these glow-in-the-dark shirts and these sticks and stuff. It was a lot of fun. But there was one guy in my youth group. He was about 15, and every time that we would do this event, inevitably I would hear him at least two or three times scream like a prepubescent boy. Like, just, ah! Like, because someone would always get the idea of, Seth really needs to be scared right now. Like, we just need to mess with his head. And I mean, he would feel so foolish as soon as the lights came on, right? He'd be like, of course I shouldn't have been scared. Now that he can see, right? It doesn't mean as much. But think about our friends who are living in darkness. Think about the fears that they might have. And Jesus comes in and he says, listen, we don't keep this hidden. Don't keep me hidden. Don't keep the message of the kingdom hidden. The message that you need to repent, that you need to turn from your sin, that you need to turn from darkness and believe in the good news. Don't keep this hidden. Bring it to light. This is why he says, whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. When I was in grade 6, I mentioned something about a guy's glasses. He had gotten a new pair of glasses, and I had said, I don't really like those glasses all that much. And I had said it to like one or two people. And by the end of the day, you know what happened? That guy came up to me and said, hey, I hear you don't like my glasses or whatever, and we had to have a conversation about it, which I found extremely interesting at how fast, even as a young kid, how fast something that you say gets around. The things that you mean to keep hidden even sometimes end up being exposed, right? And what is Jesus saying? Listen, you can't keep this thing hidden. You can't keep this gospel message hidden. Just like you can't keep light hidden forever. Eventually, you're going to need to bring it out so you can see. You're not going to be able to keep this message hidden. So bring it out. Bring it out. Let people see it. Whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed. Whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. In other words, what Jesus is saying is to gossip the gospel. If you want to tell people some secrets, if you want to tell them some knowledge that they need to know, how about the gospel? Because what's told there, Jesus says, will come out into the light. It will be disclosed. It will be brought out for all to see. But he doesn't just say that we need to simply share this message. We also need to catch this message. Jesus talks about listening. He says, consider carefully what I have had to say. And he uses the metaphor of a measure. Now, he doesn't say what kind of measure it is. He just says that it's something that measures whatever is going on. And so this was pretty common back in the day. They would have different weights and different scales, and they would say, I want 500 milliliters of this particular product, right? They wouldn't say milliliters because this is before the metric system, but they'd pull it out and they would measure it out. And Jesus, in this text, says, consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. So Jesus compares our ears to a measure. And he says, listen, what you receive, you need to use. You need to use this. And what have we received? We've received the message of the good news. We've received the gospel. And so he says, listen, what you hear, you need to use in your daily life to bless other people. So you need to use the good news of Jesus to bless other people. And you also need to share the message of Jesus with everyone. You need to make sure that people know what the gospel is. You need to make it known. And God says, the more that you do this, I'll bless you, and I will bless you beyond measure. I would overflow this, but I'm afraid about the power cords that are over there. Jesus says that as you use this, as you use the good news in your life, as you bless other people, and as you share it, you will be able to be blessed, and I will bless you beyond measure. And he's not just talking physical blessing, although we will see that at the resurrection. He's also talking about spiritual blessing. I can't count the number of times where I have been absolutely blessed by God, just simply through using and doing the things that he's called me to do. For example, my daughter, Sophie, she's great. I love her. And one of the things that she's discovering right now is her need to listen. And it's really funny because the other day, what happened was she was taking her dolls upstairs and she was disciplining them. And she was saying, now you have to stay here in your room because you need to listen. You have to listen. And this is the reality of what Jesus is calling us to do. He's saying, you can't just keep this message. You need to listen to it, and then you need to use it. And the more you use it, the more you will be blessed by my Father. One commentator put it this way. I thought what he had to say was really good. He said, according to the measure of your response to the word, so will be the blessing you receive from God, or rather, God in his generosity will give you a blessing disproportionately large. My daughter knows that as she listens, she'll receive a blessing. She will receive TV opportunities. She'll receive all kinds of good things. Now, she knows that when I discipline her, that my love for her hasn't changed, right? I still love her. But as she lives in obedience, what happens? She's able to use it more and more and more. But what if we don't use it? What if we simply come to church and hear the word and don't use it? Jesus talks about the judgment, and he says, actually, that's going to be taken away from you and given to someone who will use it. This is something that we really need to consider carefully. Church is dangerous business when you think about it. Here we are, we've gathered around the Word, and Jesus has just said, hey, you need to use this. And if you don't, whatever message you've heard, I'm going to take away, and you're going to be in judgment. That's concerning. That's dangerous business, not just for you folks here, but for the guy who's standing up at the front declaring these words to you. Right? This is a privilege that we have as we study the Word, as we open it up. We just can't take this word and simply say, well, that's really nice. I should use that sometime. That sounds like good advice. No, Jesus says, this message, this gospel message that you've received, you can't just hear it. You need to use it. And as you use it, I will bring about my blessing to you, whether in this life or in the life to come. And so the question that we have to ask as we consider these two parables is, are we like this measure? Or are we like this cup where we're not really using it, it just kind of stays there? See, the difference between a cup and a measure is that a measure is used for the purpose of baking or of doing all kinds of other things, right? It provides a blessing. In a cup, it can just stay there. It can just do nothing. And so the question that Jesus has for us is, are you going to bring this message forward? Consider carefully what you hear. Because the more that you hear my word and the more that you live in obedience to it, the more you will see a blessing. But if you don't, even the blessings that you have will be taken away at the final judgment. This is scary stuff. This isn't something to be taken lightly. Church is dangerous business. And sometimes I wonder if we treat it as such. We have walked into the presence of Almighty God, and sometimes we can be a little too light about it. And so, Jesus declares to us that we need to live in obedience, to declare this message, to allow the gospel of the kingdom to influence our lives and to bless others with it by sharing the message with them. And the question may come up, well, how do I know if it's working? How do I know if I'm actually following Jesus? And Jesus says this. Notice what he says in verse 26. He encourages them by showing them what God's work is. We've seen our work. Our work is to spread it out. Our work is to spread out the message. And here's what Jesus says. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Right here we have an example of how wheat grows. These are the stages, apparently. I'm not a farmer, but it looked right to me. So yeah. Ken says I'm doing a good job, so that's good. But what we see here is wheat growing. Now, here's the reality. Most farmers know that there is very little you can do. There are some things you can do. You can fertilize, you can do different stuff like that. But really, if any year was proof that you have very little control over what happens with your crop, it was this year. Oh my goodness, this year was a bit of a wild year, hey? It didn't really make a whole lot of sense. I mean, who would have thought we would have been harvesting in November? I mean, that's just unbelievable. We have really no control over how this is done. And in fact, what's interesting about this farmer does nothing. He just sows the seed, and then he goes to sleep. Then he gets back up. Then he goes to sleep. Then he gets back up, and he just waits. He just waits for it to grow. And Jesus is basically saying, listen, your job is to throw out that seed. Your job is to throw out that message, right? The seed is the gospel. But there's not a whole lot you can do with it. You can fertilize. You can do all kinds of different things with it. You can spray. You can keep all the bugs off. You can do what you can. But in order for this thing to grow, it takes a work of God. It takes a work of God for this seed to grow and to flourish. And see, that's what encourages me about sharing the gospel with people. When I was a teenager, I used to think that if someone didn't come to the Lord, it was because of me. That was because somehow I had failed. And I think sometimes when we share the gospel, we get this idea that somehow the person is supposed to just fall on their knees and repent right away, right? We look at guys like Billy Graham, who have done some fantastic work in bringing people to Jesus. We look at people like that and we're like, well, that's how it's supposed to be. You're supposed to share the message and somehow the heavens are supposed to bring down just as I am playing in the background and people are supposed to fall to their knees and come to Jesus, right? That's how it works. And what I love about the growth picture is this. It doesn't work like that. Growth takes time. And sometimes when you've sown the seed, when you have shared the gospel message with someone, sometimes they're at a one, okay? Sometimes this is the first time that they've ever heard this message. I was talking with someone this week and I asked them, what do you think the church believes? What do you think the church believes? What does it mean to go to heaven? What do you think the church believes about heaven and hell and salvation? And you know what they said to me? I'm not sure. I'm not entirely sure. I've heard things, but I don't actually know. And so I had the opportunity there to share the gospel with this person and to say, listen, Jesus has come to forgive you of your sin and to make all things new, right? And so what we need to do is we need to trust in him. And I told this person, listen, I come to Jesus because I need a savior, because I need someone to save me. And for this person, this was the first time that they heard this. But you never know what God might do. This person might be at a one or a two, right? This is the first time that they've heard the message and God is doing a work in their life. And who knows? Maybe someone else in the community will come along and it'll bring them to a seven or to an eight, right? We don't know how God's going to work, but as we're faithful, as we share the word, what happens? Eventually it grows and it ripens. And then the image that Jesus uses is an image of final judgment. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. At the end of our lives, at the end of our days, there is going to be a great harvest. And those who are ripe are going to be received into the kingdom of God. And those who have done nothing with the message, they won't receive the blessing of heaven. But the growth is the work of God. And this is something that we have to remember. We don't know where people are at. But as we are faithful, as we scatter seed, as we are lights that shine, as we are people who use the measure of grace that God has given us to share the message of the gospel, what's going to happen? It's going to grow. It's going to increase. That's the promise. That is what we are given. And not only will this increase, but it will expand as well. These here are yellow mustard seeds. These aren't probably the seeds that Jesus was talking about. They're probably black, but you can check them out. And what's interesting about mustard seeds is what Jesus talks about here. Notice verse 30. Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds." Look at how small that thing is. Just pull one out and look at how small that is. Feel that. Look at that. I bet you can't even see it from back there. Can you? Can you see it? No. Look at how small this seed is. This was the smallest known seed at the time of Jesus. And this is what Jesus says. "Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." Jesus says, not only will my kingdom increase, not only will God work to increase the kingdom, God will expand the kingdom. That is a mustard plant up there. And what's interesting is that mustard plants can grow up to 8 to 10 feet. From this little seed can come a plant that is taller than you and I. And sometimes I think we despise small beginnings. And yet here we see God working in a small and insignificant way. He's working with 12 men. 12 men. They're gathering around, they're having a conversation, and he works with them. And he says, from this small group of guys, from this small seed, I'm going to expand my kingdom. And I'm going to expand it. And God has done that. For 2,000 years, God has expanded his kingdom. And there have been times where things have gone really well for the church. Churches have founded universities and hospitals. They've done good. They've brought people to know Jesus in all kinds of different ways. We've seen Jesus fulfill this promise that when you consider all that he has done, that it started from small beginnings. 12 men gathering around him, hearing his teaching, and what does he do? He says, guys, I have a promise for you. When you put this message out, it will grow. It will expand. It will increase. Now, did they always experience that? Not every week. Think about the book of Acts, where sometimes you see a lot of great expansion in Acts, but sometimes you see a lot of persecution too. And this is when they would look at this parable. They would say, we're going to keep going. We're going to keep fighting. We're going to keep bringing the gospel. Why? Because God has promised that out of this small beginning, he's going to expand his kingdom. And this is part of the reason why I have great hope for this church. You might say sometimes to yourself, we're too small to do anything. And Jesus says to us, listen, my gospel started from small beginnings. And it continued to increase and expand as people were faithful to me, as people continued to spread the word, as people continued to spread the message. They were faithful. Our call is to simply catch and communicate the message. And as we do that, we pray to God and ask him, Lord, increase and expand your kingdom. What do we pray? Your kingdom come. Your will be done here on the earth as it is in heaven. God, build your kingdom. Is that your prayer this morning? Is your prayer that our church would be like this little mustard seed? And that if God would be so gracious that he would expand this church beyond what we think it could be like? A lot of times I think we look for the glory, right? We look for those moments when things are going really, really well. And perhaps we can see a little bit of that coming. But we also need to know that when things are difficult, that God has promised that he will increase and expand his kingdom little by little. It will grow. In fact, Jesus uses the metaphor of a tree. He talks about how this thing grows so big that the birds perch in it and build their nests in it, he says in another place. It's a joke, but he's making his point. This kingdom is going to expand so large that it's going to be a tree. This, my friends, is what it means to follow Jesus. That we don't despise the day of small beginnings, but we say, Lord, would you do that in our midst? Would you continue to grow and expand your kingdom? Where we are faithful, where we are the measure being used by God to spread his kingdom. And God says, I am going to grow and increase my kingdom. Just be patient and wait. I had the privilege as a youth pastor of serving at a church that was 100 years old, over 100 years old in Mendoza. And this church was a church of small beginnings. It was a bunch of Swedish immigrants who had gotten together, and they met in a home, a simple home to start off with, the home of a man by the name of John Berg. And from that home, they started to build a church. They laid down a foundation the next year. And then they built a church out in rural Manitoba in a little place called Smolent, which was just north of Minnedosa. And as that church grew, they started thinking about, well, maybe we need to do something for mission. And so in the 50s, they were debating, should we move into town? Should we move into Minnedosa to reach more people? And God gave them a definite affirmative because the building was, no word of a lie, was struck by lightning and burned to the ground. And so what happened was that they're like, well, we have no building. We better build in Minnedosa. And so that's what happened. And over the years, that church has seen its ups and its downs. But I can tell you that there were people in that church whose grandparents or great-grandparents had started that church. That it was small beginnings. It started in a home. And it grew and expanded to now where it's a church of over 120, and they get that regularly. And who knows if God will expand them even further. It's the largest church in that small town. But it started with small beginnings. It started with people being faithful, sharing the gospel message, and God, in his mercy, brought people to know Jesus. That's the work of the church. It's not always glamorous. It's not always high and mighty. But you know what it is? We can trust in this, that God is faithful and he will grow his church. And who knows how God will use this church. And so as we kind of bring this to a close, let me ask us this. Are we together praying that prayer, your kingdom come, O God, your will be done? Do we share the gospel message? Is this our desire to get it out, to share this good news? Because in the next little while, what we're going to be seeing is, who is this Jesus? And if this isn't captivating your heart, then I would question whether you have truly met the light of the world. This light of the world has come and he has died on the cross so that we could know him, so that we could know the truth. And so I would invite you to believe in him, and then as you believe in this message, to let this message change you and shape you so that we spread it and share it with others and it grows like a tree from a small little seed. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for these parables. These parables which encourage us, these parables which call us to spread the message of Jesus. Would you encourage us, God, to do so? To have the courage of conviction to share and to invite and to call people to come and know Jesus. To see the growth that you would do in our community. We pray this in the name of God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Amen.